It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome everyone to another episode of the Joe Van Secret Podcast. With me today is another mystery guest. Before, I used to number them, but I don't do that in season two because that's inhumane. So instead, I will simply say hello to
hello.
You, sir.
How are you?
So before we jump into it, we actually have sponsors. Our sponsor today are the Freemasons. The Freemasons. We're free, so you don't have to be. That's obviously not real. That'd be making some good money. But anyway, so I guess we can just jump right into it. So first question I got for you is, how was your day today?
My day was the same as every other day. I got up real early, went to work, ran a meat plant, did a bunch of work with a bunch of employees, and it was pretty good. Everyone was in a good mood. You know?
Yeah, there wasn't any fights or anything.
There was no fights today.
It's a good day.
There was no fights today, which was pretty incredible, actually. Yeah. Slowly but surely, we're weaning out the bad eggs.
Yeah.
The complainers, the whiners. So.
Speaking of which, I was surprised about that. We don't have to name names.
No, we don't.
It's that took me by surprise. Did you see something like that coming?
I have a lot of influence and I don't want to say pull because that's kind of a strong word about who comes and who goes.
Well, you're one of the higher ups, though.
That's right. I'm pretty much third in command, I guess you would say. There's Brian, there's Frank, and there's me. I'm naming names, but anyhow, they constantly ask me who's doing what and, you know, where should we go? This person get a raise up, all that kind of stuff that pertains to. But it certainly does shock other employees. We don't necessarily announce like, oh, we're getting rid of this guy to intimidate or threaten anybody else. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, it's if anything, not announced at all, right?
Well, no.
Not that there's no transparency, just that there's no announcement.
Exactly. And what I find amusing is that after it's found out, people are all of a sudden well-behaved.
Yeah, the fear seeps in.
When you throw one ripple in the water, all of a sudden it becomes 10 or 15 ripples.
It's the same as, you know, you're driving down the highway, maybe you're going 125 or something, and you see someone pulled over, you immediately slow down.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
That's just how people work.
Exactly, yeah.
So how long have you had the position that you currently hold at your establishment?
I would say a good... Oh boy, it's got to be at least 15 years.
So for 15 years and probably more, you've been waking up at what time? 4:30?
4 o'clock, yeah.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. It's an ungodly hour, but, you know, that's the way it is.
If it works, right? Because as it basically...
I mean, in the beginning, it was a lot, not a lot later. Like, you know, we'd start at 6 or 7, but as businesses grow and more employees and... You know how it works, and we get busier and busier. Like, we're so much busier than when you first started there. You know what I mean? Maybe not you yourself, but...
I feel like, you know what
I mean?
Yeah, we've divvied up, like...
You have to. Like, the grinding stuff is certainly not a one-person job anymore. It's a you do this, and I do this, and he does that. And
prepping, you know, while it's grinding.
You have to do it, yeah. To keep things rolling, right?
Yeah. So you've been working a long time. You're a working man, right? You provide... towards for the community. I mean, having a full-time job, that's what it does, right? You pay for taxes.
Yep.
But does that make you a political man at all?
I am not a political man whatsoever. I can honestly say that. I don't get involved in it because I don't want it to wrap up my life. I have so many friends that it's like consume them, and they can't, you know, via social media. Like, people make comments on Facebook, and I like Facebook. I actually don't post anything. I just do it for the pure entertainment value. But I have friends that go on there, and actually, I find it borderline illegal to what they say about, like, say, the Prime Minister or certain other people in power. Like, I always feel like, hey, man, maybe somebody's going to come and arrest you or something.
Yeah.
So I don't get super involved that way just because, I don't know, I have...
Never
I don't
really
want to say better thing to do with my life, but I don't want it to consume me. So.
Yeah, because for a lot of people, you know, it's up to you. We live in a free world, as far as we know, in the first world, and it's it gives us a lot of the privilege to spend the majority of our time really doing what we want to, even if we're at work, right? Because we spend the time at work conversing with other employees, and it's usually about... events in the world or things like that. And for a lot of people, especially if change is going on in their life, it revolves around their identity. And so political identity is a big part of that. And for that reason, I think it's totally understandable for younger people to be fully absorbed in politics or other social issues. And I feel like if that's something where the less change happens in your life, the less that aspect of your identity, I guess, consumes the majority of conversation you have in social
life.
So that, you know, yeah, that's a hypothesis.
I'm very old school though. Like I'm raised by a European father, so he's pretty strict, right? So
what side of Europe? Eastern, Western?
Well, he's from Yugoslavia. So
Yugoslavia.
Or Croatian. Right. So anyways, he was always about, you know, go to work, don't call in sick, there's no excuse for anything. You know, that's why I have that kind of mentality. So I find not necessarily, maybe your generation or even a little bit younger, I find they get so wrapped up in the what I can do. They almost like use the system to their advantage, what they can or cannot get in trouble for. Whereas back in the day, and I don't want to sound like an old man here, but it was like you went to work and, you know, an employer didn't need a reason to all these reasons to try and get rid of you because you didn't want to come to work. You're always later. You always had an excuse. There was always this. It was like, you're not working here. See you later. And I find that even with my son, he's just turned 19. You know, did many, many things. He's a lot like me, but he's a lot like his generation too, which is, I always say lazy, but I don't necessarily think they're lazy, but you know, I think they use the system and they're honestly, they take longer to move out. They take longer to get married. They take longer to have kids, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the only bone I'll throw in there, because I'm part of the millennial generation, which is from like 1985 to 96 or 7. It was like right before the internet was invented.
Right.
And then from that then on is the current generation, I guess, that kids are being born into. The internet houses social media, which we talked about earlier.
Right.
And that's a big component because, like, back in the medieval ages, you just worked at a farm and hoped you weren't killed by soldiers.
Exactly.
That was the life you lived. You lived under the lord of the land.
Right.
And then that mentality shifted during the, what was it called, the Renaissance.
Right.
Where everybody could be an individual. You could be an intellectual if you learned how to read,
because
I don't think they had established schools yet. But then once you do that, it's like the Western identity was about industrialization and capitalism. So now anyone could be a millionaire if you just work hard enough.
Right.
So it was this amazing American dream.
Right.
And then it worked for a time, but then social media, I think, plays a huge role now where everybody's their own king and queen of their own, you know, everybody's a master of their own universe, but you haven't established anything yet. It's not the same as capitalism where you have to earn the $1 million and then you can become lazy.
Exactly.
Which a lot of CEOs are. I mean, you know what? You know, they get there and then they just do
nothing. I would agree with you there. A lot of like the 2000 babies, they think they're pretty self-entitled. Like they should be handed the money. I find they want to not make a scheme, nothing illegal, but some get-rich-quick plan, you know, whereas back in our day, or even my dad's day and your dad and mother's day, you know, you worked hard, you made the money, you made some smart investments, and you made more money. Nowadays, it's like, oh, how can I use social media to become a millionaire because Mark Zuckerberg did it? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
it's like the guy knew how to code. He at least had a skill set that most people don't
have. Bill Gates did it. Why can't I do it? Like, okay, hey, you know.
Everybody's following behind the curve.
Yeah, exactly.
You see that a lot with stocks.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bitcoin thing was crazy where people, like, as soon as it was invented, people put money in it.
Yeah.
And then the majority of people pulled out.
Right.
And then for whatever reason, I'm pretty sure it was last year, at the end of last year, it spiked like crazy. Like back in November. And then once it spiked, everybody put money in, and then the second that happened, it went down.
Yeah, you don't do that. So you lost money. Buy low, and then you know.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law plays the stock market. We have a little bit of investment in the stock market, and honestly, she's, I wouldn't say she's a millionaire, but she's well-to-do. But she's always been a firm believer. You just can't panic, and you got to leave it there and just watch it do its thing. And she has some stocks that pay dividends and all that kind of jazz that I don't completely understand 100%, but my wife's into it, so you know, I'll let her do it.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, I don't know much about it either. The only thing I do know is you put money in, and you hope that the company you put money into gains its revenue stream or popularity or whatever you want to call it, and then you pull out because you've now earned money with the increase of percentage.
Of course.
And that's all due to popularity. So it's all like, if you know sociology, that's probably the base point, right? Because a lot of business people do it, but I feel like business people know how large groups interact, like people in the bigger company scheme.
Yeah, like if you had had even $100,000, you know, 20 years ago or 15 years ago, whenever Amazon started, and the shares were a quarter a share, like they trade now, I think they're $1,800 a share. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
like it's
I would never get ahead of her, so for me, I just don't think about
but
it.
But you don't, because you're a kid. And you don't think about that. I just know the history of what I have looked at, like shares in Coca-Cola, like all that kind of stuff. Now trading for, like, you know, a nickel a share way back when. Now they're like silly, right?
Yeah, so, impossible to touch almost. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, I almost find that. You know, I'm not saying people nowadays don't become millionaires, but I think a lot of people who have money, who are young, it's found money, like from their parents or, you know, whatever it is, right? So, yeah.
But anyway, so that's stocks for you. But what do you actually find interesting?
What do I find interesting?
Yeah, what's the biggest hobby or interest that you have?
Okay, well, I'm a guy who can't sit still. So I honestly, if I wasn't doing what I'm doing, you know, I would probably be like a renovator, handyman guy. There isn't anything I can't fix or build. Not toot my own horn, but it's kind of true. And that's what I enjoy doing. I actually work, I don't want to say I don't work hard at work, because most of my job is mental at work. As you know, I got to run all the employees and make sure everybody's doing this and that. But when I'm on my downtime, I'm always fixing something. I'm always building something. I'm always renovating something. You know, I do my own oil changes, fix my own cars, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That I enjoy. My wife loves to read. You love to read, you know. I can't do that. And it's not because I find it, you know, like for me, it's a waste of time. But for most people, they wrap their head around it and enjoy it. But for me, I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is so non-productive. You know what I mean? That's how I roll. So I have to be, I don't know if it's, because I got ants in my pants or whatever, but I like to be moving and doing that kind of thing. Yeah. Spending time with my kids, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Also being a parent, which is, you know, something I know nothing about.
No. But,
yeah, as far as the reading aspect goes, I don't read that much, like, or as much as I probably should for someone who likes reading.
Yeah.
It's one of those hobbies where it's like, yeah, I would rather do something physical.
Right.
But that's probably just because of my build, right? Like, we're both tall people, so it's, you know, and we're not lanky.
Yeah.
It's literally, yeah, because for me, I come from a Belgian line, so I don't know if that just means like a long line of farmers or something.
Yeah, but probably, I have
the whole, you know, can't sit still kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure that goes away, like the same with age and metabolism, where
it'll slow down. Yeah, it kind of does. It kind of just takes you a little bit longer to get the car started, but once you get going, you know.
It's still the same.
Like my dad always said, you know, try driving the same car for 70 years and see how it runs, you know. So, you know, but when you're 70, right, like you're like, okay, it didn't run like I did when I was a year old, but it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
He always had these neat little, whatever you want to call them, sayings.
Quips. That,
exactly. Yeah. And then you'd be like, you'd put an eye in the air and you'd be like, oh, yeah, I get it, you know.
What is that called? What's that
technique? There is like a term for it. I can't think of it offhand right now.
Just constant analogies.
Exactly. It's just little one-liners that makes you stop and, you know, raise an eyebrow and think about it. And you're like, yeah, that totally makes sense.
Osho's good at that. It's, you know, I feel like that's something like, if Eminem didn't get into rapping, that's what he would do. He'd be like a salesman or something. He'd be someone that could just like, speaking of music, what's your style? What are you into? Are you a product of your time?
Oddly enough, you'd probably be shocked. Two of my favorite bands, obviously. Yeah. I love Metallica and I love Slipknot. Very hardcore metal bands. I do like, but in grade 8, my favorite bands were Culture Club and Duran Duran, which I still love to this day. I love Depeche Mode. I love all those 80s bands. You know, 80s hair metal was like, I loved it. I like all types of music, really. Do I have some I gravitate to more than others? Yeah, obviously, but I'm not one to say, hey, turn that crap off. I can't stand it. Oh my God, country music is the worst thing I've ever heard. Like, I can get through it. Would I put it on? No. But I'm not about, you know, not about making somebody else turn it off to ruin their day, right? Like, that's why at work, I don't care what place. Like, the Jay guy, who was no longer with us, he always complained about the music. I just find, like, why bother complaining? To be honest with you.
Yeah, you're not supposed to focus on it. You're supposed to be working, right? It's just in the background. Like, the only time it should be noticeable, like, if it's screamo, which I remember hearing one time.
Yeah.
And I was right next to a Christian guy at our work.
Yeah.
Who was, you know, would not enjoy hearing someone scream, like, Satan has your child or something.
Exactly. Yeah,
it was kind of
Mr.
funny.
Mr. Bible like, Man, yeah. Yeah. But again, when you're a parent, you kind of learn those skills. Like, your mom wouldn't have those skills. Like, the crying, whiny child, you know, sitting in a corner having a temper tantrum. It's kind of like listening to music you don't want to hear. You just block it out.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. Yeah.
It's just it's somehow you can do that. So sometimes I don't even know what's on. Like, when somebody says, oh, can you turn the radio station? Like, I really don't. I'm like, why? Like, what's even on? Like,
yeah,
I'm not really listening, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are skills you pick up along the way for sure. And you have to. If you ever become a parent, you'll look back at this one day and you'll say, yeah, he was right. Because you'll be stark raving lunatic if you know.
Focused on.
Or just, you know, go, like, just go into their demands and just, you know, that's how kids turn out bratty. You know,
you
give them everything they want, right?
Yeah, because that's one thing I'm curious about as far as growing up. Obviously, you can't plan how you're going to be a parent because you won't know until you get into it because it's every single day nonstop, right?
Yeah.
And you see them develop. So at first you're like, what are you, stupid?
Yeah.
When they're a baby, it's innocent. But then when they're 5 to 10, you're just like, you got to learn these things.
You can't go out for 3 hours and leave them in a cage. You know what I mean? Like, no, you can't do that. And
plus, in today's world, you can actually get in serious trouble if you just let your kid play outside without supervision.
Now you can, yeah. Again.
Yeah.
Like, and again, going back to social media, there's a lot of those comments on there. We used to drink from a hose and we're fine. You know, people are like, no, don't drink from a hose. Or, you know, riding bikes without helmets. Like, we didn't do that either. And
I still don't do that. Maybe it's a bad thing.
It's a fine, though, if you get caught.
Get 16 or older?
Yeah. Oh, you're allowed?
Yeah, but 15 and under, you're screwed, yeah.
Yeah,
like, so your parents get a fine.
Exactly. Right? So, but that's what I mean. But it really, if you're... Hey, I'm not saying they don't stop serious injury, because they probably do. But if you're on a... If you go on the road and get hit by a car, helmet or not, you're probably done for, you know. But fall down on the sidewalk, hit your head, yeah, I get it. You know?
Yeah, if anything, it's a learning tool. I forget the name of the guy. I think it was Neil deGrasse Tyson. Do you know that name? He's a popular guy in science.
No.
Are you saying that sarcastically?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
No, I know Bill Nye, the science guy.
Yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson became popular. Like,
is that the guy?
Through social media. Neil deGrasse Tyson,
instead of
Bill Nye. The two of them are like friends now because there's so few popular scientists, right?
Right.
You just
well,
have
of course.
Bill Nye and now this
yeah,
guy.
Of course, yeah.
And this guy's an astrophysicist because Bill Nye was like an engineer.
Yeah.
And he became popular through memes that were like posts on Facebook. And there's one thing that he was talking about where someone was like, hey, like, you don't have a case on your phone? Because he's like flipping it in the air and like twiddling it and stuff. They're like, you're gonna break it. Like, I always break my phone and stuff. And they're like, you ever wonder why cadets like do that, you know, gun dance thing that they do
at
the show and like look so goofy and stuff? It's literally training them to make sure to how to hold their gun. Like, they're not flipping it all silly and stuff. They're like in control of it constantly.
Oh, of course, absolutely. Yeah.
And the whole point of that is to like not need a strap, right? To like be able to have it be an extension of your body, basically.
Exactly.
And so if you teach yourself that through fault and error, right? If you were to fall over or whatever, It helps build what's called? It's one of the modes in the brain. You know how there's not really 6 senses, but there's like 23? We just don't talk about it. Like, there's temperature, there's gravitational
field. Yeah, there's lots.
Field.
Yeah.
One of them is called proprioception. And the proprioception is your brain's relation to the extended areas that you control.
Okay.
Which just means your limbs. But if you become extremely skilled at something, like driving a truck, that's... And you become so good at it that it's automatic. You don't even have to like look when you reverse park. Like,
no, yeah,
if you've
no,
been
yeah,
to a place,
exactly. Okay, yeah.
That's called proprioception. Or like a samurai with their sword, it's an extension of their body.
Right.
It's called proprioception. It's where you know where something is so clearly that's attached to you that you don't even have to look, and it's just, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
So you could like BMX people, like tons of people do without knowing what their brain's doing it for them.
Skateboarders, BMXers, skiers. Like,
you don't have to know anything about science to become a master at doing something.
Yeah.
That, you know.
I think it's just practice and repetition. But I always wonder often, how do people get good at that sort of thing? Like when you watch constantly. Like when you see the guy on a big dirt bike and he's like, his whole body is extended and the dirt bike's like way over there, and he lets it go and he lands on it. And like,
yeah.
How do you get good at that?
I don't know. Me, flips. I could do a front flip, could never do a back flip.
Yeah.
And I just, anytime I saw someone do that, I was so jealous. Yeah. I was like, how did you even start? Because it's like, thinking about it, I just think I'm going to snap my neck. Like, I can never do it. Exactly. I always just sort of, if I'm on a trampoline, fall on my back.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, how do you get good at that? You know, you don't break your neck. Like, it's like, I don't know. It's crazy. Yeah.
But anyway, so, moving subjects a little bit. You got sleeves.
Yeah.
Not just sleeves, but sleeves.
Sleeves.
On sleeves.
Sleeves, yeah. Sleeves on sleeves, yeah.
What got you into that in the beginning?
Well, I think one time, I don't want to say recently, like in the last 6 months, but this is probably in the last, say, I don't even know. We'll say a decade for argument's sake. But the first one I actually got was this cheesy little skull tattoo on my shoulder. Like, me and my buddy went to Niagara Falls, and, you know, back in those days, it didn't matter. I think we were 19 or 20, maybe. We may have had a few beers at the bar or something, and then said, oh, let's go get a tattoo. So we did.
Yeah.
And,
Before you continue, did you cover it, or is it still
there?
I did.
No, it's gone. It's gone. So, his, oddly enough, is still there. He got a Spider-Man tattoo, which is, like, so bad right now. It's just, like, it's all faded, and the lines are all fat, and it looks terrible. But anyways.
Beautiful memory.
He didn't continue with anything else after that. But anyway, so we got this tattoo, and, you know, and I kind of liked it. So then I got one more, then I got one more, and I got one more. And sooner or later, I kept going. And my mom, she's very old school, like, English, like royalty, very Christian, God, all that kind of stuff, right? So she was like,
classic.
She was always like, oh, make sure you don't get anything on your face or neck, or so I don't. So if I wanted to wear a dress shirt, you would never know I'd had one. I don't have any on my legs. So if I wear shorts, you don't see anything. You know, I have them, you know, all up my arms, across my chest, my back, all that kind of stuff. But unless you saw me at the beach, you'd never know. But everything that I have represents something I enjoy. I'm a huge horror movie fanatic.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, we could talk about that.
Yeah, I love horror movies. I've probably seen every one 15 times over. I've seen horror movies that you were probably in, you know, the like just,
yeah.
You know, the worst actor ever. And I've watched it. Like, anyway, so I'm into all that stuff. And I like sci-fi movies. So that usually has a pretty good representation. I have portraits on my children on my chest, and their names and stuff, kind of like
how,
in the neck.
How is the shading? Because I've seen horror pictures on Facebook where they get the shading wrong of like a child, and it's like sunken in eyes and like doesn't look realistic.
These,
you know?
they're good. Like, you know, like, yeah. like these ones here, like that looks like a person.
That, yeah, that's really good.
So they're all like that, right? Like my kids, obviously they don't look like that anymore, because this was a picture of my son when he was in grade 3 and my daughter is in grade 5. You know, I know they're them. They do resemble them somewhat, but are they exact representation now? No. At the time, of course they were. Yeah. I get lots of compliments where people are like, oh my God, that's amazing. And so I know exactly what you mean. You get the baby picture and the mouth is all crooked and weird.
Yeah,
and
like just the sunken in eyes is terrifying, and like this, the shading on the skull's all wrong, and you know.
So my artist is a woman, and she always said, you know, cheap tattoos aren't good and good tattoos aren't cheap. So
yeah, that's good. That's
she charges $175 an hour. So, but I don't pay that because I've been going to her so long. She charges me the old rate, blah, blah, blah. If I ever had to go back. But if you were to call her now, you'd wait 18 months before you got in. Like, that's how booked she is. She's booked solid for like a year and a half.
Yeah, because you think for one person, especially if they're good at what they do,
they
just get regulars because
people
are like, I'm going to keep coming back to you.
Or
so their schedule just gets
anything.
Full.
I've sent people, they're like, oh my God, where'd you get your sleeves done? I'm like, at this place
but
in Burlington.
Yeah.
Good, you want her, that's fine. But you know what? You better book 10 appointments because you'll never get her. You'll have 10 tattoos in a decade if she's even around that long.
Well, what's the place if you want to shout it out?
Cause True Grit Tattoos on Brant Street.
Okay,
yeah,
very good.
It's I'm trying to think of where it's across from. Anyways, it's just south of Caroline, I believe.
Yeah.
It's kind of in behind there used to be an old sub shop there called Player's Pizza.
Oh, is it down like a little corridor?
Yeah.
I got a tattoo there, actually.
You did?
Yeah. I can show you just because I don't have a shirt on.
Oh.
For the listeners at home, you can infer what you want. But yeah, I just got that guy there. It's nothing special, right?
Just the little one or it's the
whole thing? The little one. So when I was 18, I got this.
Yeah.
20, 22, 24. And now I'll be 26 in a month and then...
Nice. Every 2 years. So, who did you see?
It was a guy.
Brendan?
Probably.
Yeah. You just walked in?
I made the appointment and they said, yeah, we'll have a guy like
tomorrow. Yeah, it's probably Brendan. Yeah. Yeah. He was an up and coming when I went there. His work's really good. He does a lot of needlepoint stuff. But, anyways, the same people have been there. They're a really good shop, really sterile, clean, they always say, hey, look at this, when they pull out all their instruments, they make sure you see.
What they're using, the clean.
When they put it together, everything, that there's no, issue. She's really cool, though, she's asked me, you have kids, obviously she knew after the tattoos and stuff, but she's like, well, I don't tattoo anybody under the age of 16 without parental consent, and... She learned as she went too, because if you were my son and your mother and I were divorced and you lived with your mother, but I lived at a different address, she won't even tattoo you if you don't have the same address. Because in her past, she tattooed a girl. The father came down absolutely losing his mind.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Because he never knew. The mother said, yeah, go ahead. And then it was a big deal. So she doesn't even do that anymore.
Family feud.
Yeah. She doesn't want any of that, none of that nonsense. Sense. So, that's how she's rolled. So she's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, you got, what do you have mostly on there? Movie references or music?
I got this one is kind of this is Walking Dead stuff, but it's not really characters you'd see in The Walking Dead. It's just kind of like a zombie sleeve.
Yeah.
This one is House of a Thousand Corpses. These are characters for sure. This is
I don't know if I've seen that one.
Captain Spaulding, Baby Firefly. This one's Otis Firefly. So you'd see these in that movie.
Yeah.
And then I got a bunch. Oh, there's just some.
How many sessions does it take? Because that was just one theme, right? That wasn't a slow build of ideas.
It's a slow build. She just keeps. Okay. She does this one's the Alien.
Yeah, classic. Right?
Okay.
That is good, man. Yeah. That's photorealistic.
See the head and the tail, and then the tail comes all around here.
Yeah, that's actually amazing.
I know. So, anyway, so one of my favorite movies. I just love Aliens.
Yeah, I was going to say Alien or Aliens. Because they're radically different movies.
I love them all, but I think Aliens was good because I like Bill Paxton and all of them. Michael Bane.
A lot of one-liners from the movie, too.
Exactly. So, I kind of like that. Anyway, so I would say each actually one tattoo is 4 hours of work. So, if you were to add it up, it's probably 5,000 an arm.
Yeah.
Or more.
But that's nowadays. A slow thing, right?
It's a slow thing. Oh,
you want one tattoo? $5,000.
No,
bucks,
no, no. Yeah. I would go in there and she would charge me $500. Nowadays it would be more. She's $175 an hour plus tax. So do the math. You'd be $800.
Yeah.
So.
I just get a little one, so I'm okay.
Yeah.
But it's still the minimum sometimes. Imagine if you wanted a tattoo of a dot or something, like a musical note.
Yeah.
That's $89.
Yeah. Is that the minimum now?
Yeah. Unless I'm being cheated, but yeah.
No, that's probably right. I've never had the minimum, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. But. I know when we got that first little cheesy tattoo, you had to sign a waiver and pay a $50 deposit. And the guy said, if he touches you with the thing and gives you one dot and you check it out, we keep your $50, but you got a dot on your arm,
Yeah.
That was back then, funny. But they don't do that now. So. Yeah.
Okay.
She has a questionnaire this long. Are you this? Are you that? Medical history,
which makes sense, right? Not just for legal reasons, but it's you don't want to kill someone.
Yeah, have you drank in the past 24 hours? Or taking any illegal drugs? Are you on any prescriptions? Because she doesn't want you to bleed out when she's
accidentally. Kind of I want a tattoo right here.
Stop the. Those are the worst spots, actually.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. So you've gone everywhere as far as...
Here, nothing on my stomach or anything. Nothing on my sides yet, but...
Yeah, because I remember being told, whatever's the palest on your body is the most sensitive. So it's the inside here.
Apparently the ribs are horrible.
Yeah.
For me, under here wasn't that bad. It's this spot. They call it the ditch. See all the darkness in there? Like, they really hammer it in there. So, I mean, that did hurt a little bit. But you kind of, again, it's one of those things. You sit long enough, you become numb.
Yeah, it's the same as working out.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're in the zone, then obviously...
It just goes away. You just never take a break. You never take a break. I made that mistake once. I was like, oh, I really got to go to the bathroom, you know? Partially because I was curious. I wanted to see how the process of what it was looking like. Yeah. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's looking pretty good. Well, when I went back, it was like she was jabbing a needle into the worst sunburn you've ever had.
Yeah.
So it was rough. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I'll keep that in mind, just in case I want a big one.
Exactly.
But so, you love horror movies. We'll start with that.
Yeah, love
it. What is your favorite? Is it the...
If I had to say my favorite character of all time... that's a tough one. I never really got into Michael Myers and the Halloween. Not to say I don't enjoy them. I love the Friday the 13th movies. I always have. Grew up with them, so to speak. I love Hellraiser, the character Pinhead. One of my favorites.
He's the coolest guy ever. I've only ever seen the first movie.
I got that tattoo on the back.
Nice.
So, that... I love all Rob Zombie movies. He's really... okay, so when he remade Halloween, I loved it.
Yeah.
Because he just took it in a different direction.
It was the death metal version, basically. Yeah, the second movie was like, you know that one scene where she's having like a satanic nightmare or something?
Yeah.
That was cool. That was the first time I've ever seen that, like,
so those, outside of music. What's that movie? That is a movie.
That one there? It's right here.
That is a movie.
Under
I just
the skin.
Saw that. Yes. I didn't,
great movie.
I didn't watch it, but I saw I saw it on Putlocker, and I always cruise by it. And now I just noticed it in your mirror. I was like, oh, I've seen that face somewhere. Anyway, so those are my kind of top three. I mean, I love all, I can name 100 that I've enjoyed. But, some of them I don't enjoy because they're campy and silly. And
it has to be the mix, right?
You know, the Saws, I find they went too long.
Saw, it's gore porn, right?
So, but they would say, oh my God, Jason died 17 times in Friday the 13th, but
it's
not
supernatural.
But it's different. It's like, it's weird, like a campy, like kind of, you know, when you went to camp and stayed in a tent kind of horror movie, don't run into the woods kind of movie, but you do anyway, you know, it's like, I don't know.
It's not, that's the point. It's just thematic.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's not about the story necessarily.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Very stereotypical things like there's always the girl that runs into the woods, or there's one black guy that always get killed.
It's always the token black guy. Yeah,
the token
that's funny.
Black. I didn't know if I could say that, but I was gonna say that.
Yeah, that's.
But
that's
yeah, the class, yeah. But that's how it is, right?
Yeah. Which is funny. It's like the formula was created in the 80s. I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah.
Halloween I think was one of the earliest ones, and that was in the late 70s. So, it. Yeah, it became a formula, it became a staple, and then it started getting corny.
Yeah.
Like the Friday the 13th movies, where Jason goes to Manhattan, that is some of the dumbest thing I've
totally
ever
silly.
Seen.
Totally silly. But
where it's like a comedy, you know? Where
comedy
like,
horror with some good deaths, you know what I mean? But even nowadays, all the new horror movies that are out, they're kind of based on what was already created.
Yeah, you
there's
can't,
nothing
you can't not remake something.
But there's nothing that great that has come out and go, oh my God. Like, that's so new. That's never been done before. I haven't seen one really yet. Hasn't been...
I feel like it's... indie movies are going to be the only ones that are original.
Yeah.
Low budget, you know. There was one I saw that I honestly can't recommend because it wasn't that good production-wise, but it was called The Void. Have you heard of that one at all?
The Void.
Probably came out 2016 or 17.
Yeah. It's got... I probably have.
It's like, that seemed kind of original. But here's the thing. Anything can even be vaguely representative of something else.
You'll notice
if there's a portal, you'll say, "Oh, that's kind of like Hellraiser."
Yeah.
Or if there's, "Oh, it's kind of like Jason Voorhees."
Yeah, so. you'll notice something in regards to an older movie that you've seen. But you know what? Who knows? No. I haven't seen a lot of movies from the 50s and 60s horror movies, so who knows? Maybe they stole ideas from them, right?
I feel like okay. So you like sci-fi too?
Love them.
2001's A Space Odyssey was the first one to depict space realistically, because before then it was like giant ants from space and like donuts from space and stuff.
Yeah.
So 2001 was the first one where it's like there's this they're like there's just this thing that's unknown in space, and that's the whole point, is that it's
right,
because you don't know it. Space stations and stuff like that, right?
But I like sci-fi, but I like sci-fi horror too. Like, I love The Thing. The original one was like awesome.
Well, it's great. Yeah, that's it's a classic.
Even the second one was good. I liked it from the Norwegians' point of view,
Yeah, which I find cool, because I didn't realize that, obviously, because I saw the original thing when I was so young, and then I watched the remake when it came out in theaters. I was like, oh, that's good, that's a cool remake. But it wasn't a remake, it was a prequel.
Exactly.
And I'm sure,
the end was the beginning of the original thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is super cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. I liked it.
It's better than doing a remake, probably.
Yeah, it was a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, it told it from their perspective, and that's what it was. They didn't
You can't make a third one, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You only had that one shot.
You never know.
Yeah, you know.
Who knows?
But I was going to go somewhere with that. The whole aspect of, like, constantly remixing stuff and, like, the formula was made and it got cheesy. There have been films like Under the Skin, Hereditary, Don't Breathe, stuff like that, that I feel like if it's not the most original thing in the world, it's at least refreshing. Like, it's actually trying to, you know, bringing the scare back.
I will agree with you there, but Don't Breathe, you know, everyone's supposed to be super. Right. Or no, that was the, sorry, not that one. That was the one with the, was he
the
blind
guy?
The
girl breaks in to the blind guy's place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was a good movie. I did enjoy that. I'm trying to think of, was it the Quiet Ones maybe I'm thinking
of? The Quiet Place.
Quiet Place?
Yeah, with John.
Okay, so my son saw it, and they know I love horror movies, and they're saying, oh, Dad, you should watch this. Okay, what's it about? Well, then my son starts going on about it. Oh, well, it's stupid because, you know, someone was giving birth to a baby. And
you had to be completely silent.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was like, if you're going to make a horror movie, okay, I get it that it's unbelievable, but if you're going to make it around this premise of being quiet, then all of a sudden you have
giving
scenes...
Giving birth to a screaming baby.
You have scenes in the movie that are so ridiculous, it ruins the entire movie.
Yeah, it's hard to get into. The suspension of disbelief. It worked on a lot of people, though. That movie was hailed as like super original and great.
Yeah,
I feel like it's going to age bad. Like, people are going to realize that it...
You it know? Probably will. I haven't seen... I keep flipping over it. Was that Get Out movie? With the
You still haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it. My son says it's good.
Yeah, like, it's by Jordan Peele, who him and...
I feel like I know that.
Keegan-Michael Keyes. They worked on Mad TV, and then they decided to make their own show.
Right.
Key and Peele. And it's hilarious, and they had, like, 3 seasons. And then just straight up went to horror. Like, it's the weirdest switch I've ever seen. It went from comedy to horror. And I thought it was amazing. Like, it was one of the best films of the year.
I heard it's like Body Snatchers or something.
Yeah, it's like Body Snatchers, but it's supposed to be like a more realistic, like their surgery.
Yeah,
it's like it's still not that believable, but it's just the
metaphors
behind it, right?
They want to put their brains
black
in
bodies
younger bodies.
Are supposed to be like more athletic and stuff. So these old crippled white people that are rich get surgeries where they like abduct, or not even abduct, like subdue black people by like making it seem like they get their daughter to like sleep around and
like
then bring
recruit.
Them back.
Yeah.
And the whole metaphor is supposed to be about like fake PC culture.
Right. Oh,
with liberals that pretend like they're not racist, but like they'll still walk across the street if they see a black guy, that kind of thing.
Yeah, of course.
And so, like I think the metaphor works perfectly because it's like we live in a world where people are constantly being deplatformed and everybody's a potential racist and like sexist and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
it's hostile.
It's very hard to,
like, totally
I always say to people, like, I'm not old, but I'm, you know, on the other side where I'm going to, you know, work towards retirement and stuff. I don't even know how it's going to work with people because it's almost like you can't even joke around anymore. Like, you know.
Well,
you,
yeah, the whole idea of us being unified is completely gone.
Yeah.
We've literally, like, regressed back into the 1950s where there's segregation, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you're now that class of person, right? You're now a white male, and that's who you are, and now you belong to a group, you know, that represents, like, white supremacy and nationalism and all that.
Well, my brother's a policeman. Well, he just retired, and he saw that, too. Like, he's a white guy, and, like, nowadays, he would say, unless you're ethnic or a woman, the promotions are far and few between for white guys, because that's the way our country has gone.
It's an overcorrection. That's how I see it.
Exactly.
Back in the day, it was the white males were, like, whatever it's called, like, inappropriately, I guess, bolstered up by their own selves and their powers. And now it's like, okay, that was wrong. But instead of, like, leveling the playing field...
We're making up for
it's
it.
Like, yo, fuck those guys.
Yeah.
So now, you know,
exactly. So my nephew actually became an RCMP, and he's, like, blonde-haired, blue-eyed. He looks like he's from Sweden, but he's, like, you know, he's from Canadian parent. Well, his mom was German, and his dad's obviously Croatian-English, but, He actually went to Prince Rupert, I think it is. Yeah, 50 miles south of Alaska. That's his posting.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. So he's okay with the cold.
Yeah. No, but that you get one really northerly posting, and this is apparently his one. He could have went to friggin' none of it. Like, anyways, yeah. There's 3,900 people there, and there's 3,899 natives, you know, and him. You know? Yeah. So, again, very difficult for him to get in. He was, my brother said, he was only one of two or three other white guys in the RCMP. So, yeah.
But yeah. I feel like in that situation, because they're placed there where they weren't there before, uh-huh. and these people have been there their whole lives, mm-hmm. and they're placed in a position of power. The only thing you can do is like just try and build a rapport, like start, you know, it's like when you're like a new neighbor and like you just knock on the doors and say like, yeah. hey, nice to meet you, or whatever.
They're kind of there just so that they don't kill each other. To be honest with you, that's the take I get from my nephew. Like a lot of the natives, it's a lot of just fighting over land, property, booze, whatever. You know what I mean?
Like, well, yeah, because how, like, what type of land is that? Because wasn't the whole point of the Northwest Territories is that we only let them have it because it's like you can't grow crops there?
It's inhabitable, basically. Yeah,
it's like just a hellscape. So it's like, what can you do in a hellscape except be depressed and drink? Like, you know?
Exactly. So I think they're just kind of there so there's not absolute chaos, you know what I mean? In terms of.
Well, what do you think about the whole situation? Because you've been a Canadian your whole life?
Yeah, I was born here.
The concept of natives, right? Where it's like, in history class, I was taught through this lens of like the main characters were the Europeans, right?
Right, right.
But nowadays we're getting a lot of the talks about truth and reconciliation coming up a lot. Because that happened in Africa. I forget between which countries, but... Right. Like, so much bad shit happened, and there's so much bad blood, and there's no one to blame because it happened for such a long period of time.
Right.
That literally, the only thing they could do would just say, all we can say is, like, we got to do better and, like, you know, try and build a better future. Because otherwise, bad blood will just stay there, so.
Well, I mean, again, it's one of those things. Like, you know, the Indians, we took advantage of them way back in the day.
You know? We made them sign a contract. They didn't know what they were doing.
We gave you booze. We take your furs. We gave, you know, and, you know, we basically essentially made you alcoholics, you know, but they're so stereotyped. But again, if you want to be revered in society, my belief is that pay taxes like everybody else. Work for your land like everybody else. Don't feel like you're, like, I don't
play into victimhood.
And exactly. That's something they're feeling they're playing like they're owed because their ancestors were persecuted. Well, you know how many black people are in Canada? They're not all like, oh, give me this, give me that, because my ancestors were slaves. It's just the way it was. I always said to like many people, I'm an owner of a plantation. I'm a white guy with a wife and three kids, but I got 50 slaves. Why couldn't 50 slaves overthrow one white guy? I always thought about that. Why wouldn't they just take him and shoot him? I guess it'd be fear.
Yeah, because you're in hostile land that you don't know, right? You don't know the geography like they do, because you're not allowed to like venture out.
Exactly.
So if they were to take over that land, they would then say, what do we do? Should we start going? And the army would just come and kill them?
Exactly.
Or... So, yeah, it's all about fear. The fear of the future, right?
You know, the fear. So then they kill their slave master, and then they move on to the next town where everybody hates black people, wherever they're, you know, in the south or... Bible Belt and all that stuff.
And still the population is like 70% white.
Right.
So it's, yeah.
I'm not racist whatsoever. I just...
no, like we're not going down that road.
No, yeah. I just want... My belief is for everybody to work and pay their taxes. And if you want to be treated as equal, just act like an equal. Don't feel like you're owed. And because of what's happened in the past. Let's just go... Just move forward. You know, they're like in the U.S. There's so many hillbillies and stuff. Like they still hate black people because their grandfather four generations ago did. Like, yeah. Bro, like who cares? Like, make your own decision. You know, like.
And that's the weird thing, because, and again, this is definitely because of social media. But the victim culture is everyone, right? Like, first it was just everyone who wasn't white, but then like in the Republican sort of red states, like the hillbillies, then they adopted that. Because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Because now you're being attacked on social media. So it's like, oh, now we're the victims. And so now everybody's a victim. But it, like, that is something they teach you. Because you know how in colleges, like, they started doing things like safe spaces and, like, you couldn't talk about certain things if it's controversial because it would trigger people.
Oh,
and
really?
Stuff like that. Did you hear about that? That started in, like, 2013-14.
Oh, no.
It was terrible. It was mostly in American universities. Oh. But, you know, like most things are, I guess. But,
Gotta start there first.
Yeah, they invent the stuff and then it carries over. But yeah, and all of it's completely counterproductive if the goal is to try and live a productive, meaningful life. Because with trauma and stuff, because we're assuming these young people that have had privileged lives have trauma, right? It's they don't actually have PTSD, right? They're just saying that they do.
Yeah.
It is, you know, if they say, oh, this person is a conservative and that triggers makes them a liberal or something like that. It, like, if you don't allow yourself to hear other opinions or differing ideas that are against your belief structure, because that's mostly it, right? People get emotional when you say something that's opposite to what they believe.
Oh, of course.
It's impossible not to. It's an instinct. It's a reflex. You can't grow with that. And if people adopt victim culture, like if there's, like people up in native reserves. Hey, what's going on? Sorry. Hey, audience, my dog's in the room now. If you adopt the victim culture, then it literally stops you from ever moving forward and you just stay in a stoop. It's like accepting depression as your normal state rather than something that you need to get out of.
Exactly.
And the only way to get out of it is to say, no one else is going to like pick me up by the hand and like carry me towards the pearly white gates. You know, it's you're on your own. You're all alone. You got to do it yourself.
Unfortunately, society in the world, you know, I don't think it'll ever get better or worse. I think it's just going to be kind of like, you know, I lived through the invention of like the cell phone and the computer and the internet and all these things. What are my kids going to live through the invention of?
That's a scary thing. AI? AGI, they're calling it now.
Yeah.
Artificial General Intelligence. Yeah. It's... That's what I'm going to say. So we haven't been in any contact with advanced extraterrestrial life that we know of.
Yeah.
Right? Unless you're a conspiracy theorist. And mathematically, it seems more likely that we should have, you know, millions of years ago or whatever. Of course. Because of the amount, in our own galaxy, the amount of habitable planets are, it's commonplace. It's more common for there to be Earth-like planets around a solar system of a star. I don't
believe that we're the only planet that has life on it.
Like, now we actually have readings, we know for a fact. There's thousands.
But that's just me. I've always believed that. Like, I don't...
Because it's just math. You look up, and there's, like, billions and billions of stars.
But it just makes sense. It just makes sense. Like, why would we be the only planet with people and trees and frogs and cats and dogs and all these things, right? Like, it's just...
So the whole concept is, how come we haven't come in contact with them? And it's the Fermi paradox.
Uh-huh.
And one of the big reasons is because there's probably a milestone that we have yet to pass as a civilization that is seemingly unreachable. When you hit it, it just wipes out the species.
Right.
And that's just a problem of intelligence because... We're to assume that most intelligent life would be like us, where not even bipedal, but just social.
Yeah, yeah. Because
you have to interact with each other to help create inventions and bring it aboard. Obviously, two minds are better than one kind of thing.
Right.
But just on the macro scale, that's how we have... Because that's memes, right? Everybody thinks memes are like cat videos on the internet and stuff. But memes are like glasses and cars. Yeah. Things that are just reproduced.
Right.
Ad infinitum. So... the Fermi paradox is you hit a milestone that's just unreachable and it wipes us out. And a lot of people are fearing that's AI. They think artificial general intelligence is going to be this super genius god thing that we make that's going to look at us and be like, you guys are literally stupid ants. Like, you're so much lower than me. Why do I even need you guys?
Yeah.
So they're going to start, you know, this machine's going to start replicating itself by using every resource known to man, which includes themselves. And, well, I guess that gets into
everybody's the got their own theory about, you know,
what the future holds.
You know, why we're here and what the future, who made us, or this is God's little project or something. It's always something. It depends on the individual or how they're raised or what they... It's all about belief.
Yeah.
Basically.
But it's... There are some that are less believable than others, I think.
Of course. But that's what you might think. That's what I might think. We could talk to our Bible friend at work all about it. And he would just disagree with you.
Shake his head. Right to the end. Because he's so sure.
Right to the end. It's like he's had dinner with him.
Yeah.
You know?
But here's the thing, though. Have you ever taken philosophy, like, in high school or anything like that?
No.
I took it in grade 12. I didn't like taking university or anything. But it's like an introductory course in grade 12 if you want to go to university. Mm-hmm. So they have, like, existentialism and the history of philosophers. So you got to learn about Socrates and Aristotle and all those. And they teach about logic. So logic, everybody knows the term, because it's like with reasoning, it's mathematical, stuff like that. Logic in conversations, because that's the only place it's usually used, is to decipher the end point of any given idea.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some where there can be no end point, like what happened before the universe and stuff like that. And then if you're given points of information, like it, you know, if we know for a fact that 13.7 billion years ago there was a point of singularity, because mm-hmm. we can see cosmic radiation that tells the story that it was time right. at one point, side of the dot. So we have that as a matter of fact, using whatever instruments we used. Unfortunately, I'm not an actual scientist, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But series of questions should be able to draw a logical conclusion, and most people can't do it. It's the same thing as someone who's rhythmically talented and stuff like that, mm-hmm. right? I have no rhythm to me whatsoever. I can't sing. I can't like play an instrument
uh-huh.
because I don't have that natural sort of beat. Like yeah. I can't dance to a beat.
No, I've got to be.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
But then there's people who are really good at math. I'm not really good at math.
Yeah.
There are people who are really good at like being creative and coming up with ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's one of the skill sets I have. But another one is logic. I can't like I can always reach the end point if someone offers me an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So with conspiracy theorists. Just because that's a fun one to dive into as an example.
Right.
You know, so you can say that their belief is that the moon landing was a hoax. So that one has validity because there was an arms race.
Uh-huh.
So there is a reason to lie about that to the entire country and then just never reveal otherwise because it's ego for the country. But a lot of other conspiracy theories, like the Earth is flat, there's too much compounding evidence against it to say otherwise. And plus, why would people lie about that and how could they have for all of human history?
Right.
If we're assuming the majority of people are just sheep, because that's what most people do with conspiracy theorists, right? They're
right.
like the secret, they're like a chosen one that just so happens to know the truth, and everybody else is a sheep.
Yeah.
So with the flat Earth, yeah, obviously there's time zones, pictures of space, they say it's photoshopped. I don't know what they say about time zones, because that's so glaring.
My brother's a real hot to trot for that whole moon landing thing. He thinks it's a big crock of you know what.
Yeah. Me, but it's like, we'll never know, but there's footage of it. And I don't think we had the technology at the time to
fake
low gravity.
I might be a simpleton, I guess, but I don't want to waste my brain space with that.
Thinking about those things. Well,
just
that specific isn't worth it, right?
Yeah, it's never going to affect my life the way I'm living it. So why do I want to crowd my brain space with thinking about like the moon landing or flat Earth? Like
yeah.
I'm breathing, I have a family, I'm working. I have possessions just like everybody else does. You know, I do the things I enjoy. I like things maybe like you that if you have a point, I want it based on fact.
Yeah. It's a point A to point B
that's
that
it.
Is with
if
substance.
I make a statement, it's because I know what I know in my head it's right. I'm not going to tell you something I don't know is right. You may disagree with me, but I know it's right in my head because I've heard it. I've done it. I've seen it. Whatever. I try to 99% of the time live my life that way. Most people don't like that, but, you know, I always say I'm a realist, you know,
well,
my
yeah,
wife's like, no, you're an idiot, you know.
but you're also frank with things, which is,
yeah,
it's a good thing to have, right?
I'm a little
most
too
people,
frank sometimes, but, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, you're as long as you're self-aware enough, that's all that matters.
Yeah, right? That's right. That's right.
But so since I started with the point of something like conspiracy theories,
right.
A bigger point would be God. Right?
Right.
Because that's a big topic. Firstly, are you a godly man?
Well,
did not ask that.
You know what? I'm not going to say I don't believe because, again, my brain space has, you know, I always bugged my mom about that. Like, they can disprove the Shroud of Turin and the walking on water. They say he walked on a sandbar out in the lake. Like, all the miracles have been disproven by science, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Or that it is theoretically disprovable if you were to replicate that.
Exactly,
test.
By yeah. science. I think science tries to do that. But I think whether you believe in God or not, or in miracles, or touching, you know, walking the steps at the Vatican, or whatever it is that people do, and touch the feet of the statue, Mary and Joseph, and all this stuff. If that's what you believe, and that's what gives you peace in your mind, I'm not against that. I'm not... I don't believe or disbelieve,
yeah.
You know, I don't, do I think some guy clapped his hands and made the earth? Maybe. I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't. Yeah. Nobody knows.
It's unprovable.
Somebody wrote a book. You know what I mean? And yeah. And a bunch of people said, okay, well, you know, there's a period in Jesus' life from the age of birth to 33 or wherever before he got crucified, yeah. that there's no documentation. Well, what happened? You know, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah,
I don't know.
GoPros don't exist.
And then. I'm not gonna say I do believe or I don't believe, but
yeah. But you were raised, I guess, Catholic. You're not 100% Jewish.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not Jewish.
Yeah.
100% Catholic. And, you know, my parents went to church every Sunday and they made us go till we were in grade 11, no doubt. And then after that, they're saying, oh, you don't have to go anymore if you don't want to. So none of us did because it was a boring thing to do. You know, like on Sunday, it's, you know, you're usually playing road hockey, you're 17, you want to do something, go up. Hang out with the girls or the guys.
There's other priorities. You're in the middle of growing.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're like an old person who's retired and has no hobbies.
Yeah, and got nothing to do. Yeah, Sunday. Every day is a Sunday boom. To you. There you go, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't, like I said, I don't believe or disbelieve. Because there's no, I don't have any, I don't want to say, yeah, I don't believe in God. It's bullshit.
And then you go to hell.
And then I get there and I'm like, well, I should have believed, you know what I mean?
It's the safe man's bet, basically.
Right. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing.
So I'll throw one shade of doubt at that.
Yeah.
Which doubt is a good thing. It's funny how, like, in biblical sense, they always say doubt is like the devil playing tricks on you or whatever. Yeah. Here's my bit of doubt. And this also jumps into the simulation theory. It's basically the same thing, but I'm just going to use the word God instead of if we're in a simulation.
Okay.
You know, so let's say that God created us.
Right.
And here we are. And we're doing our thing and we're on Earth and we're jumping around and, you know, he created us in his image. So for whatever reason, he's a bipedal primate that somehow looks like something that evolved from. That
is male and female.
Yeah. And so it's this entity.
So God is transgender, basically.
Yeah. Hermaphrodite.
Yeah, and, exactly.
So we say, okay, then who created God if he created us?
Exactly.
No one created God. He's outside of time. And it's like, okay. But why not just get rid of God out of the equation and say no one created us and, you know, and then we exist in time. But then say, no, God does exist because otherwise this would be impossible. And we say, okay, but then let's start playing with that a bit where we say God created us, then who created God? Let's say super God created God, then who created super God? Super duper God.
Super duper God, yeah.
And it goes on for infinity of creators and created. So if they were to say, no, it's not that. There's just one level. It's like, why is there one level? Why isn't there just no level?
Exactly.
The concept of there having to be a creation, because a lot of people are confused about evolution, because it's evolution is such a long time period that it's impossible to actually imagine how it works.
Yeah.
But natural selection takes place over millions of generations before you actually see a change in something. It's easier with smaller animals, because we do it with dogs. Mm-hmm. In only 100 or 200 years, we've completely evolved brand new subspecies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but with people, that's microevolution. It would be millions and millions of years.
Yeah, like we looked the same 50,000 years ago, which is such a long time ago. How many generations? 500 generations, and we looked the exact same.
Or more.
So it's, it takes a long time before you start seeing a difference, right? But anyway, so we're sort of running out on time here.
Yeah.
And sorry I jumped into philosophy with you.
Oh, no, that's totally fine. It's all interesting. Right?
Next time I got to talk more movies with you. The only recommendation I have is check out Under the Skin. I'll give you that DVD.
I can watch it on my tablet. I'm a tablet junkie. So.
Okay, yeah, perfect.
That's what I'll do. I'll actually watch that tonight because I
will warn you, it's artistic. So not a lot of people like the pacing of artistic films because, you know, they're slower, like 2001.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's slow. Some people are
like, as long as it's good. I don't need to be on the edge of my seat the whole time. I don't want to be left hanging at the end or like, that ending was ridiculous or it doesn't even make sense. Like that kind of thing. Hey, if it all ties in.
It ties in. There's very little plot, but a lot of things are inferred. So, like, it depends how you watch it, but it doesn't have, like, multiple meanings or anything.
Yeah, it's just one story. Everybody's got to think about it a certain way, but anyways. That's why I don't watch TV. I just don't watch it. I don't want to follow anything. I just want a beginning, a middle, and an end. That's it. Yeah. Okay, there's a sequel, fine.
You're a completionist with ADD.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, people are like, oh, did you see all those episodes of Seinfeld and Friends? I'm like, no. You know? Don't watch it. Yeah.
Good point. Well, hey, thanks for talking.
Hey, man, it was
spending
great.
An hour.
Yeah, no
shit.
Problem,
yeah.
man. It was fun. No problem. Anytime.
So yeah, and I'll see you at work.
Yeah, man. It was